All right, this morning we're going to be honored with a privilege from three young ladies who want to come up and sing for us today. I think we're called Amy Grace, Emily, and Genevieve, is that right? So let's get the mic adjusted for you guys, huh?
The Maker's masterpiece, and all that He designs will be done in me. My body is a temple of the living God, a worship in His house that His blood has bought. As I bear His image, oh, may Lord, I leave my life in Your loving care. I know that I belong to the Lord. I belong to the Lord. I am not my own. I will honor Him, for this I know. I belong to the Lord.
Thank you, girls, for blessing us. Had a long road ahead of you singing for the Lord. That's good. Heavenly Father, we desire that You'd guide by Your Spirit, preparing for the remembering our Lord Jesus and all that You did, Father, sending Him, and all that You did, Lord Jesus, to pay the price so that we can have eternity together with You. So we ask for Your guidance and help now in Jesus' name. Amen. In John 14, Jesus is preparing his own for his leaving. He had washed feet, John 13, and now he's sharing a whole new relationship with him. They have been with him, and he doesn't want to be troubled, and he explains what's going to happen and how God is going to now use them in a special way in serving him. He's explaining that he's going to go away and prepare a place for us, and he'll come again and receive us unto himself. But he also shares in the meantime how he's going to come and be with us, and so important that we understand how God's plan is to invest his very life in our life and live through us to accomplish the Father's will. I'll just look at a couple verses here in 14. He says in 14 that he would ask the Father, and the Father, you pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And then he says, even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And he's saying, the Spirit of God is on our Lord Jesus Christ, and he was with them, but there's something coming where he's going to be in you. And then in 18 he says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And then in verse 20 he says, and that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he's referring to Pentecost, when those that believed in Jesus Christ, those that received what he did for them, that the Spirit of God would come and be in them. And so it's a wonderful plan that God had. He would ultimately come and receive us to heaven with himself, but in the meantime, he's going to come and be with us in a whole new way. Now, we also understand that Jesus said, where two or three are met in my name, I'll be there and with them in the midst, and we trust by faith that Jesus Christ is with us today. But every believer here has a wonderful plan of the Lord living in your heart, in the person of the Holy Spirit. He comes to live in his and accomplish what's on his heart. So I think really also I just want to point out that in verse 12 of John 14, interesting thing that he says here, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the work that I do, shall he do also, and greater work than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And so he said, the same kind of ministry I have had amongst people here will continue because I am in them. And so we want to just realize that God has a special plan to work through the life of every believer as the Lord Jesus Christ is invested in our life and present in our life. I just think in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon Gideon for a task, or for individuals for a task. It was said that the Spirit clothed himself with Gideon, he makes the record say, so that he became as nothing in the fray but just a suit of working clothes the Spirit wore that day. I like that picture, to think of the Spirit of God using us as a suit of working clothes. 1 Corinthians, it says that we are his building. We are his temple. He lives in us. And so quite a wonderful responsibility. And I know if I look at you, it's by faith. I may see in the countenance, I may see in your behavior the presence of the Lord, but we don't physically see. But I tell you, Satan does. He knows exactly those that have the Spirit of God and have the Lord Jesus Christ in them. He hates it, and he wars with us. And so I want to just point to three pictures of how the Lord living in us uses us. And one is in the very next chapter that Wayne read for part of it for today, where he said, I am the vine and you're the branches. You're just a branch connected to a vine. He gives us a picture of that relationship in our life with him, living with him, and I'll live through you. And I will bring fruit, and you'll produce fruit just on your branch, but it comes forth from me. The power comes from me. And we must never forget, if we are inviting in Jesus Christ, and that's what the crucial thing is, you'll be in relationship with me. You will be in union with me, and I will work through your life, and the fruit will be of me. That is one picture, the blessing of being involved in what he does through us. We must never forget it's his doing. We're just a branch. The second, on Wednesday night, we had memory verse in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, and I want to just turn there for a moment. We've been looking at verses that talk about in Christ. And so the verse goes, let me just a moment here, 2 Corinthians 2, 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest our savor of his knowledge in every place by us. The next verse says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and them that perish. Very different than a sense, one of our senses. We have an aroma. And I don't know if we realize that, but this verse teaches us. In the Roman triumphant parades, I guess they had also used some kind of something that smelled good. They had, word escapes me right now. But there was smell in that. And he says that's the way with us. And he says there's aroma that comes from us. For those that are saved, it's aroma of life. For those that are perishing, it may speak to them of death. And Paul ended up saying, who is sufficient for these things? That God uses us in a special way. Just had a testimony just recently of someone that had a close death experience, and they're going on living for Christ, and a dear friend they're concerned about said, why aren't you afraid of death? And that they talked together and she accepted Christ. And it's just the way, because of her life and the way that her life was lived, it made a friend want that too. And so that's another way that God uses us, and unbeknownst to us, let him live through you to have a sweet aroma to draw people to Christ. Then the third one that I think of is right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and it says this, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves servant for your sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So what he's saying, God shines in us. Jesus Christ lives in us. He's the light of the world, and he will shine through us. And then, then Paul said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Another way that the Lord in us gives us an aroma of Christ. He gives the light of Jesus Christ in us, and it impacts those around us. So I guess just what I'm trying to share here, that God has chosen in the meantime, he didn't take us home, but those that invite Jesus Christ to be their Savior, God the Holy Spirit comes to live in them. We're his temple, and in the person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ lives in us. And it's God's purpose to impact people around us. And so the Lord's Supper is a time of examination, time to let God talk to us about our relationship with him. And I guess the thing, a couple of questions I have, are we humble enough to recognize it is his work, it is his life? Are we sensitive to his leading? Are we obedient in fellowship with the Lord Jesus? Are we willing to be in the Lord's program instead of our own program? And I guess the question I'd like to ask myself, I maybe ask you, how is it for Jesus to live in you? What's it like for Jesus to live in you? I think that is probably the question that occurred to Robert Munger. He wrote a little piece, and I assume it, in what he shares, he probably was in college at that time. And he wrote, "My Heart, Christ's Home." And he talks about the different rooms of his life and what it's like for the Lord Jesus to live in you. And I think that's something that is really good to ponder. There, one of the rooms was a drawing room. He said that Jesus was in my life, and we agreed to meet every morning and have time together. And he said one morning I was just rushing out past, he called it the drawing room, and I saw Jesus sitting in there, and then it stopped me. And he said, I went in and said, "Have you been here every morning?" He said, "Well, we agreed we were going to meet together." And one of the things that I just would share, what he shared here with the Lord Jesus, he said, "The trouble with you is this. You've been thinking that the quiet time of Bible study and prayer time as a factor in your own spiritual progress, but you've forgotten that that hour means something to me. Also, remember, I love you. I redeemed you at a great cost. I desire fellowship with you." He said, "Do not neglect this hour, if only for my sake. Whatever else may be going, be your desire. Remember, I want your fellowship." And one of the amazing things that we see is the Lord Jesus wants time with us. He wants time alone with us. And as he talked about other rooms in his life too, and if those that knew this, also he talked about the hall closet. Said one day, Jesus said, "There is something smelling in my life in you." That's, anyway, it ended up, he said, there was a hall closet. And I didn't want that to be touched. There's something in my life that I just held for myself. And the Lord Jesus said, "If you give me the key, I'll take care of it. This doesn't belong in your life." It reminded me in Romans 8 where the Apostle Paul is saying, if we live in the flesh, we die. But if we by the Spirit do mortify, put to death the things of the flesh, we shall live. Are there things in our life that makes it not comfortable for Jesus to dwell there? That would be the question. We have a wonderful privilege for God to invest in us the life of Jesus Christ, to live in us in this time while we walk here on this side of glory. Beyond that, we back in his presence for the rest of eternity. So I would just think that if God could just help us to know what it's like for Jesus to live in our lives, that would be a good way to examine ourselves even before we partake of the Lord's Supper. And we're going to sing a verse of Nothing Between, but let me share the verses. I thought they were good. The songwriter wrote, "Nothing between my soul and the Savior, naught of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there is nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure, habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not be my heart from him ever severed. He is my all, there's nothing between. Nothing between the like pride or station or self or friends shall not intervene. Though it may cost me much tribulation, I'm resolved there's nothing between. Nothing between even many hard trials, though the world, whole world against me convene. Watching with prayer and much self-denial, triumph at last with nothing between." God has so shared with us in John 14. Jesus said, "I'm going away. I'm going to send my Spirit. My Spirit will be in you. I will come and live in the person of the Holy Spirit in your life." And then he goes on to John 15, "Abide in me. Be in relationship with me and communion with me." And other ways that he demonstrated to us we have God's Spirit invested in us. And as I just asked that Liz would come, we're going to sing just the first verse. But as she plays, let's talk to the Lord. I'll talk to the Lord. What's it like for Jesus to live in you? What's it like for Jesus to live in me? May it be pleasing to him. Sing the first verse. We are thankful, Lord Jesus, for the wonderful gift of life. We pray your blessing on our time together this afternoon, and thank you for your care for us. In Jesus' name, amen.